2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in. Cougar Sports Saturday podcast edition. No live Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. We're coming up on Saturday. It's BYU and Montana Tech. Yeah. Ugh. The Ore Diggers coming to Provo for basketball. So they're taking over the airwaves. And then later in the evening, it's BYU football taking on San Diego State. So we're in podcast form this week. But as you heard, there's a jam-packed weekend coming up for BYU sports, highlighted by BYU football taking on the San Diego State Aztecs, an old Mountain West rival back on the regular season schedule for BYU. Mitch Harper here. No Matt Biamonte this week here on the podcast. Matt's over in Hawaii, as we discussed in another episode here on Cougar Sports Saturday. So joining me is Dallin Graff. We're talking BYU football here. And before we get any further, wanted to remind all of you, BYU Utah State basketball, we're giving away some tickets. If you want to have a chance to go to the Vivint Smart Home Arena to watch BYU take on ranked Utah State, send us a text using keyword Beehive to 57500, and you'll be entered for a chance to win BYU versus Utah State basketball tickets at the Vivint Smart Home Arena, courtesy of us here at Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, it is a nice little gift, despite the fact that we're not on the airwaves.
That is right.
We're trying to make it up to the listeners with some nice little perks. So 57500 is the text line number, keyword Beehive. You'll be entered to win. The winner will be notified Monday, December 9th. So you have some time. So text in. Don't miss a chance to win some tickets to what should be a great game. Yoli Childs will be back. Again, like you said, a ranked Utah State team. It's going to be a ton of fun in the big house in Vivint. It's going to be a great time. You're not going to want to miss out.
You can follow Dallin on Twitter, at Little Foint. Follow me on Twitter, at Mitch_Harper. And you don't want to miss out BYU taking on San Diego State on Saturday. Montezuma Mesa, BYU and San Diego State kicking off at 7 p.m. Network coverage begins at 5 here on KSL News Radio. And BYU comes in, five-game winning streak. Cougars are 7-4 on the season, where San Diego State, they're 8-3, reeling a little bit. They lost last week in the Mountain West Western Division basically title game between them and the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Hawaii came away with a victory 14-11. And, you know, when I say San Diego State, instantly for most BYU fans, some thoughts, some feelings register for a lot of Cougar fans. There's a lot of history between BYU and San Diego State, and an individual that has some strong feelings towards BYU is San Diego State head coach Rocky Long, who doesn't hold back on his feelings towards the Cougars.
Yeah, earlier this year he had the comments that he wished they wouldn't have scheduled them. He basically didn't really want to play BYU. He kind of further explained those comments today, saying that he doesn't want anyone to schedule them because then maybe they'll come back to the Mountain West, and if we keep scheduling them as independents, then they'll never decide to go to a conference. He has some interesting thoughts on he's very anti-independence, very much everybody needs to be in a conference. But this is historically there is a rivalry here that was pretty intense for quite a few years, and it has been a while since they've played, but it's starting to get renewed again, and it is fun to be playing a familiar foe week 12. It feels like a conference game that's not a conference game, but it kind of has some similar feelings there.
I do like matchups that have some heat to them, that's got some emotion, at least for the fan bases. I think the players, they could care less. I don't think the players really give it a dang. Even Rocky Long himself, he made it clear to his guys, he's like, hey, some of these dudes at BYU, they're a little bit older. They don't care about the history of the rivalry. Rocky Long on BYU.
So if we want to build up this big rivalry with BYU, the only ones that know are me, maybe Horton. Anybody that's over 60, we understand. but anybody under 30 has no idea how heated those rivalries were and how much because BYU was one of the top teams in the country for years and years and years, so people shot to try to knock them off. Our boys have no idea about any of that. I had to tell them the other day that some of their players are 25 to 27 years old. And they looked at me
now,
like,
hey now, my head not was 25, 27.
So, see, they don't even know that part of it. They've watched them on film, so they know they're a darn good football team, but they don't know all that other stuff. I told them they're the most mature football team we're going to play. They have no idea what that means. But from the age of 18, playing against 24 and 25-year-olds, you in this room, how much different were you at 25 as compared to 18? There's a huge difference. There's a thing called man strength that you get about 25 or 26 years old. You don't have it at 18. No matter how much they think they're a grown man, they are not.
Rocky Long's a weird guy. He's a weird guy, and that's all there is to it. But, I do like the commentary he brings because he makes the game more interesting this weekend. I mean, maybe there's just some weird twisted angle from his vantage point where he's trying to get people to buy tickets and come to the game, because that's probably an issue at San Diego State where they don't get many fans to show up. So he's trying to add some heat to the matchup because really there's not much at stake. But, man, Rocky Long, he is a weird, weird guy.
Man, grown man strength. I learned something today, Mitch. At 26 years old, it turns out that I am at peak full man strength now. So that's
man strength.
That's
a thing I've learned now from Rocky Long. You always love to hear the 27-year-old BYU players out there. I'd love to meet them.
I would too, because I'm thinking about it myself. The oldest guy on the team is, I think, Sawyer Powell. Austin Lee, I think, is 25 as well. Sawyer Powell and Austin Lee, they're the oldest guys, but there's no 27-year-olds. The age gets inflated every time a team faces BYU. They're going to be mature, all of this and that. It's the same old song and dance. We'll get a little bit more in-depth in the matchup between BYU and San Diego State in a moment here. But, Rocky's interesting from the standpoint of how he just kind of voices his displeasure with BYU leaving the Mountain West Conference. He gets frustrated. Or just basically makes it clear that they should have just basically stayed. And this whole notion of not scheduling them and forcing them to come back to the Mountain West Conference, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Because for me, Dallin, BYU had to leave the Mountain West Conference. Back in 2007, one of the games between these two programs, BYU took on San Diego State. It was the game that really started BYU's independent path. Remember this. I mean, people always say, oh, BYU just had a reactionary move to Utah going to the Pac-12, so they decided to go independent. No, 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 no. So the BYU, they started their independent planning when they played San Diego State. And BYU, remember in 07, they had a chance to go to the BCS as an at-large. And they were playing a game against San Diego State on the Mountain Network. And BYU wanted to get a broader audience, a bigger national audience, so they wanted to broadcast the game on BYU TV. Mountain West Conference said no. BYU was very upset. They were mad. BYU crushed San Diego State, and BYU started to research the path to independence. So there's just some heat with the San Diego States, the Mountain West. There's just naturally some hatred, I think, between both sides. BYU is going to be very respectful, but Rocky Long, he'll make it clear how he feels about BYU.
Yeah, and as he mentioned, you know, his 18, 19-year-old players on his team, they have no idea. They have no idea of the history of this team. He even said that. I think the quote was, they looked at me like I had my head cut off when I told them the stories, you know, told them of this rivalry. They had no idea. So it may not matter to the players right now, but I think it matters to the fan bases. It matters to those who have been around the program for a long time, a guy like Rocky Long, and there is maybe some bad blood here with this Mountain West breakup that BYU had, and the fact that they haven't fully left. They're like an ex-girlfriend that's still kind of hanging around, comes around the house every couple months. They're still playing Mountain West teams like Utah State and Boise State on a yearly basis. Now they're bringing in San Diego State. They may play Hawaii in the bowl game. So they are still kind of hanging around. It allows them to kind of send these, shots back to BYU with the chance to play them. But it is an interesting scenario when you look at, still early on into independence for BYU and relying on the old conference to fill some spots. But I'm a fan of it because these are rivalry games. The Boise States, the Utah States, that's a rivalry game. San Diego State, an old rivalry, but fun to revisit, like I said. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I think Rocky Long should embrace this because, as he mentioned later on, BYU does have a national audience, and he would welcome them back into the Mountain West because of that national audience, because of the attention that they could bring to the conference.
Whenever BYU plays these type of teams, as you mentioned, that they schedule quite a few Mountain West teams. It's clear. It's a fact. BYU plays a lot of Mountain West teams. They also play a lot of teams from the Power Five ranks. They play teams from everywhere. But naturally, there's going to be a lot of regional connections for BYU to play these Mountain West teams. So with all that said, when you see these type of games that have some natural storylines, have some interest just from the fact when BYU plays these teams, do you think BYU should go back to a Mountain West Conference, Dallin?
I believe personally that BYU would be better off long term in a conference.
So, wait, hold on here. So, conference meaning like group of five, or? Because we all want to see BYU in the Power Five.
Of course. And I don't think anybody would be against BYU leaving independence to go to the Pac-12.
Yes. Right. No. Signed, sealed, delivered. Hey, we can hate on that league all we want, but we would give our left one to be in it.
Exactly. So, but when it comes to the group of five, it is a little more interesting. But I think BYU would be better off in the Mountain West long term. You look at the attention that teams in that conference that were successful have gotten, teams like Boise State, teams like Utah State last year who were ranked, had gotten some attention. I think there's a capability for BYU to be in that conference and to still get the national attention they want. I know there's more to it than that. There's the TV deals, the BYU TV. There's a lot of aspects to it that fans forget about when we talk about the reason for independence. But with, the college playoff eventually expanding, it will. It's just not going to stay at four teams forever. Eventually, it's going to expand, and there's going to be some sort of group of five automatic qualifier. So that, to me, it makes the most sense for BYU, if they ever want to be in the college playoff, is to be in a group of five and get that automatic qualifier, as opposed to being independent and now you're looking at an at-large against Notre Dame and the second best team of the SEC. That's just a tough slate to go up against. It'd be much easier to be the best of, Boise State, UCF, and Appalachian State.
You hit on something interesting right there, and it's the one thing that does make me pause about BYU considering a move back to the group of five, because I have stood on the platform, hey, stay independent. It is the route to go for now until you kind of see things shake out with the next wave of realignment, because I do believe there's going to be another wave of realignment. I do think that within the next, I'd say, 7 to 10 years, BYU will be in some league. I do believe that because I think that whether it's Power Five, whether it's group of five, or whatever the new configuration of college football is, BYU will not be independent forever. The only program that can be independent forever is Notre Dame, because for whatever reason, they had the Four Horsemen. They were good in the 1920s. Like, they still get the benefit of the doubt over nothing, and they've done nothing as of late. They haven't. They've only won a national title just 4 years after BYU. I mean, come on! Notre Dame's won nothing. But anyway, you know, BYU is going to have to get – they're not going to be independent forever. And I think that when you say that the playoff is going to expand, because I'm with you, I think it's going to. It's going to happen, but I still I don't believe that the playoff will have a spot for a Group of Five team. If it does, I think that is the ticket for BYU to then go back to a Group of Five league, because then you could tell your players you have a shot to play for a national title, whether you play Tennessee or you know, just Utah State and non-conference, or whoever it might be, you will have a chance to play for a national title, and that's what BYU fans have been craving for so long.
Yeah, and there, it's a complicated situation, for sure, right? There's a lot of factors to it. I think right now what BYU is doing is they are auditioning for a Power 5 conference. They're scheduling the big boys. They're bringing in the Washingtons, the USC. They're going to Tennessee. Next year, you've got, you know, Minnesota. You've got an even tougher schedule next year, right? They're auditioning for a Power 5 conference, saying, hey, sure, we can hold our own. We can compete. You know, you look at the bottom of your conference, we're better than that. You want us, right? And I don't know how that audition is going to go, because there's a lot of, you know, whether a conference wants to expand, whether there's money for it. But that's what they're doing right now. But eventually, like you said, they're going to have to get into a conference. And a Power 5 just may not be available. I don't think fans should be disappointed if BYU ends up back in the Mountain West. I think that the independence has been good. I think it's allowed for some growth within the program, allowed them to build their national brand. And if they end up back in the Mountain West, they're going to come back to a conference where they may be the best, at least the most recognizable team in the conference. And if you're the top tier of your conference, that's a good spot to be in. You could be happy about that as a fan, competing for a Mountain West championship year after year and getting national recognition.
The only way that BYU, to me, could ever go back to the Mountain West Conference is if there is a ticket potentially to the playoff. Because to me, I feel like if BYU is forced into a league eventually with however college football ends up going, personally, I would like to see the AAC, because it kind of upholds some of the national appeal that BYU is looking for. And I feel like those programs have more resources and more upside and potential to where you could create a league that maybe is, I know they're branding themselves as Power 6, but maybe it could one day become that. Maybe, just maybe. But if there is truly an expansion of the playoff and there's a ticket for a Group of Five league, then I'm willing to listen to the Mountain West Conference. But the problem is with the Mountain West Conference, too, is there's so much hate, I think, in bad blood with the programs and BYU. I think it's cooled off quite a bit. I think, like Tom Homo mentioned 2 years ago, that there's been a little bit of a thawing out period between the both sides. BYU, they've moved on. They don't have any bad blood. At least that's what Tom Homo has said. And, you know, Tom Homo apparently told Mark Ziegler of the San Diego Union-Tribune that only Colorado State has not engaged in you know, scheduling talks with BYU. All the others in the conference have been very receptive to hearing BYU, and they've played games. But I just think that, you know, the thought of going back to the Mountain West Conference, the only way BYU fans would accept it is if the highest Group of Five team can get to the playoff, because if not, there's no reason to go back to Mountain West Conference.
And I'm totally okay with that. I just see that as the inevitability. And so,
how long do you think that's going to be?
I think 7 to 10 years is the right timeline. Yeah. I would not be surprised if the expansion happens within the next 3 years. I think there's growing motivation. And listen, if Alabama ends up as a 5 seed this year and doesn't make it in as a a team that didn't win their conference championship, that's the best advocate for anybody wanting playoff expansion, is that Alabama, the pride and joy of college football, doesn't make it in the 4. That, like, changes are going to happen immediately, because that's just how it works. And so if you are pro football playoff expansion, you are pro Alabama missing out this year, because that's going to jumpstart this conversation and make it possible to get to 8 or more teams in the near future.
See, I'm torn from a big picture of college football perspective. Love college football. the playoff has been kind of weird to me, where it's created this world of like the Rose Bowl suddenly doesn't mean as much. Or, you know, I kind of want to go back almost in a weird way. I'm kind of the unpopular opinion. I would almost like to see the BCS formula back. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like BCS just they always got it right. The top two teams, I just want the national champion in college football to be elite. And I feel like there's only two or three teams legitimately that should have a chance to win the title. That's just my opinion. I feel like Ohio State, LSU, that's it this year. To me, Clemson, Georgia, Bama, Utah, no. You don't have the resume like those teams. I want it to be elite, but I also want BYU to have a shot to play for a national title one day. Just a shot. I don't think – will they ever win it? I don't know. Probably not. But I want them to have a shot that they could go into a season and say, hey, we are going to have a chance to play for a national title, and it's a stated goal. BYU can't say that's a stated goal, and that's for the majority of most college football programs. But it'll be interesting because I think that the Mountain West and BYU conversation will never die down. It truly won't, because it's always going to be an element there that's in play. Because, you know, even though there's hatred from the Mount West side to BYU, they also understand that BYU is good for business. BYU is going to bring people at the gate. BYU is going to bring eyeballs. They're going to bring exposure that you just don't get in your conference without a program like BYU. So it'll be fascinating, and these storylines always emerge when BYU takes on old Mountain West Conference rivals. And again, BYU and San Diego State, 7 o'clock kick Saturday night. How do you see this game playing out, Dallin?
Well, it's going to be a low-scoring game, Mitch.
No doubt.
San Diego State is 8th in total defense in all of college football, only giving up 277 yards a game. They are also not very good offensively. 118th in points per game. Just to put that into perspective, UMass is 116th. So two spots ahead of San Diego State is the UMass team that we saw last Saturday. So BYU fans, rest assured, nobody's dropping 30 on us this week. But what it's going to come down to is, can BYU's offense do enough against a really, really good San Diego State defense? I think they're going to get it done. They're a better team than San Diego State. It's just, can they, if they can hit a 20-point mark, if they can get over 20 points, I think it's a lock for BYU to win this.
San Diego State went up against Hawaii last week. One of the best offense, I think top 30, 40 in college football. They held Hawaii to only 14 points. They got a good defense. Jeff Grimes compared San Diego State's defense to that of Washington. Think about that.
Wow.
He compared them in the same breath to Washington. And that to me kind of made me pause a little bit when he said that, because as we remember, BYU against Washington, that didn't end well. And BYU had Zach Wilson. They had Tyson Williams. That was a game, of course, he got hurt later in the game. But they had kind of their full collection of pieces at their disposal offensively, and they struggled against a Huskies team that really suffocated BYU. Now, not the same talent as Washington, San Diego State. They got a good scheme, though, and Rocky Long has really brought a toughness to the San Diego State program. I remember those years in the old WAC and Mountain West days, you'd always say, you know, San Diego State's got the best talent on earth. They got all these NFL players, but they're just poorly coached. They're not tough. They're weak. And now they have been a tough football program under Rocky Long, and it's going to be a competitive game, but I feel like this BYU team is going to get to that 20-point mark. I think they're going to get around 24, maybe 27. BYU is going to win. I think they're going to find a way, and I say that because the defense, too. I feel like BYU's linebackers, we can almost bank on them getting an interception, right? They're going to set up BYU's offense with a short field. So I think BYU wins this game. Another element that's going to be interesting here is Ryan Agnew, the quarterback for San Diego State. He's a 50-50 proposition as to whether or not he'll play. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I like BYU's chances here. I think that they're BYU offensively has made a lot of progress. I feel like the rust from Zach Wilson got completely removed from the UMass game. I'm excited to see what happens on Saturday night, and I think BYU is going to come away victorious.
Yeah, they're going to have to get it done through the air. San Diego State's third in the nation in rushing yards allowed. They've only allowed 71 yards a game. And Jackson McChesney, The freshman had a big game against UMass.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program. And he had a huge game last week. And it's just not going to be the same that it was against UMass. They're going to shut down the run really well. So if BYU can get anything going on the ground, that's going to help. But Zach Wilson's going to have to start off this game throwing the ball really well. And he looked good against UMass. It looked a lot better than the Idaho State performance, which we were all kind of, you know, hesitant. It was good, but it wasn't good enough. It was kind of shaky. He looked good against UMass, and if he can bring that momentum into this game, I think BYU will find themselves in a good position.
You bring up McChesney. Just a quick thought here as we kind of wrap things up here on the Cougar Sports Saturday podcast. Who would you start at running back? Do you start Lopini Katoa, Jas McChesney? Because I feel like you go with the hot hand. I'm usually that guy. I mean, just because if you don't have a clear-cut guy that's number one, he's the top dog, go with the hot hand. I feel like Jas McChesney, I know it was against a terrible defense, maybe the worst all time in college football history, but I've seen BYU play bad teams, and I've seen BYU not have running backs that pop off for 220-plus yards against those bad teams. I think there was something to take away from that game with McChesney. I'd go with him. Who would you go with?
I would go with McChesney. Now, Kalani seems to do that. I think Lopini's going to get the start, and McChesney will have twice as many carries in the game. I think that's just – it seems like that's – They kind of give it to the guy, and then, you know, it doesn't really work. And they're, all right, we'll bring it. The same thing I with Sione, right? He didn't really get the start, but he ended up mm-hmm. with more carries. I think that'll be the case here. But it may be a struggle on the ground. We'll kind of see how it all shakes out. I think it's going to be whoever seems to be able to get the most separation, whoever seems to be, you know, working the best against this defense is going to get the majority of the carries. But like you said, McChesney looks good. And listen, 200 yards against anybody.
Oh yeah,
against anybody is remarkable. So who cares if it's UMass? You put up that many yards against another team that's trying to stop you. You're obviously talented. And you obviously had a great game. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, I think Katoa is going to get the start, but McChesney will end up with the most carries at the end of the game.
Also, very interested to see BYU's offensive line, how they stack up against San Diego State, because that offensive line 2 weeks ago against Idaho State, that was a big thumbs down performance from me. I thought they were underwhelming, to say the least. Much bigger step up in competition against the Aztecs. So want to see them really step up. Guys like Blake Freeland, James Empey, Brady Christensen really need to answer the bell and keep San Diego State at bay, because they're a group that they can get to the quarterback and they can create havoc, something that BYU on their defense, they simply don't do. BYU doesn't get sacks. The 2 weeks you think BYU is going to get sacks, they get zero. So that's what you can kind of expect out of BYU's defense, but I think they will be opportunistic against San Diego State's offense that, just for lack of a better term, is not good at all. So that's going to do it for this episode of Cougar Sports Saturday podcast. Before we go, score predictions for the game?
I'm going to say 21-13. I think BYU's just going to just get over 20. Only a touchdown given up on Saturday. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going with 27-14 BYU. I'm saying two scores. I think it's going to be, to me, a statement win for this BYU team as they head off into the bowl prep, bowl season, and get ready for the Hawaii Bowl. So I'm saying 27-14, BYU gets it done over the Aztecs. And you can listen to the entire game here on KSL News Radio. For Dallin Graff and Mitch Harper, this has been the Cougar Sports Saturday podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, and Spotify. Leave a rating and a review, and we'll be back next week with a new episode on the podcast feed, because we'll have no live show on our Saturday hours. So we'll be back on the podcast next week. So looking forward to that. Talk to you then here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.